Heavenly Father, you have taught us time and again to put our trust in you. And then when the test comes, we put our trust in other things. And so, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness and we ask for your wisdom. We ask, dear Lord, that we would apply the things that we have learned from your word and continue to learn from your word, that your Holy Spirit would be alive in us, that we would walk in the light and follow the Spirit as he leads us in paths of righteousness. Heavenly Father, thank you for the clarity of your word, that we can understand what is written here, and we love what you have given to us. And so help us tonight as we hear the word of God preached. May we hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. We finished Psalm 20 this morning, and we just read it again as a reminder of the lesson that we learned there. It's not a new lesson. It's a lesson that we've heard many times throughout our lives. But let me remind you of what verse 7 says. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." So the trust in horses and chariots today in terms of warfare would be tanks and missiles and nuclear weapons, maybe that kind of thing. But really, when we brought it down to application for ourselves, we're learning not to put our trust in money. We're learning not to put our trust in our strength. We're learning not to put our trust in how wise we are or can be, but instead to put our trust in the Lord. What we're going to see this evening is that psalm in action. So we're actually going to go back in time to Joshua chapter 11, and Joshua himself will be facing chariots and horses. He will be facing the wisdom of the nations of war that he was to conquer. And he's going to put his trust in the Lord, and the Lord will deliver him. So if you have your Bibles, you can open this evening to Joshua chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at the first 15 verses of Joshua 11. As you're turning there, John Calvin wrote something in the mid-1500s that we can relate to even now. It might sound like it was written in more modern times, except for maybe the word that he uses is an old-fashioned word. But this is what he wrote. He said, "To hear the same thing twice is usually felt to be irksome." To hear the same... Let me say that again. To hear the same thing twice is usually felt to be irksome. You've said this. You already told me that, right? We've heard that before, or we've said that before. Yeah, I heard you already. To hear the same thing twice is usually irksome. That word irksome just means a bother. Stop telling me the same thing over and over and over again. That observation from John Calvin came in his study of Joshua 11:6, where the Lord tells Joshua again, "Do not be afraid because of them." So the enemies are surrounding him. God says to Joshua, "Do not be afraid." Now that's a repeated phrase throughout the book of Joshua. Joshua 1:9, "Do not be afraid." Joshua 8:1, "Do not be afraid." Joshua 10:25, "Do not be afraid." Or said in a different way, Joshua 1:6, "Be of good courage." Joshua 1:7, "Be of good courage." Joshua 1:9, "Be of good courage." Joshua 1:18, "Be of good courage." Now, it's good advice as we go into 2020 to be of good courage and do not be afraid because of the enemies that surround us, knowing that we can put our trust in the Lord and our Lord gives us victory. But is it irksome to us? And the answer is maybe not. This morning's sermon, what was it irksome? It wasn't a new lesson. It wasn't something incredible that you haven't heard before. It was a tried and true lesson, one that we've heard many times. So is it irksome to hear it again? And again, the answer is maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's irksome because it reminds us that we forget. Things have to be said again. Or maybe it's irksome because it reveals our laziness. We've been told, but we don't do it. Or maybe it's irksome because It shows how fickle we are. We trust, we stop. We trust, we stop. We believe, we doubt. We believe, we doubt. Those are three things that Calvin observed. Forgetfulness, so maybe that's why it has to be repeated, because we forget. Or laziness, he called it sloth. Maybe that's why we have to be reminded again. Or fickleness, or doubt. And that's why we have to be reminded again. So God repeats His promises to us throughout His Word. And maybe we're bothered because we're forgetful, or we're lazy, or we doubt. Or maybe we're at the point of maturity in our Christian lives where we're not bothered that it has to be repeated, because we've learned to appreciate and accept the fact that God takes the time to teach us the very things we need to grow in our sanctification. The very things that we need to learn are repeated to us, and we're tested repeatedly in those areas time and again in our lives. And so instead of being irritated, we're appreciative, because our deficiencies that we want to get rid of and aren't gone yet are being worked on. There's a work in progress in our lives. So what are the deficiencies that remain? Well, it's like Paul wrote in Romans 7, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do want to do, I don't do. And who will deliver us from this problem that we face on a daily basis? It's going to be Jesus Christ. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory. So we want to be done with forgetfulness, but we forget. We want to be done with laziness, but we continue in our laziness. We want to be done with fickleness, but we waver and drift, and we're as fickle as can be. Who delivers us from such inadequacy? And it's going to be the Lord. Some put their trust in chariots, and some put their trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And that's what Joshua will be taught in this passage that we're looking at tonight. It's a repeated lesson for Joshua. And Joshua, by the time chapter 11 rolls around, he's experienced many victories. It was way back in chapter 2 that he defeated Jericho. And so it's not as though he's inexperienced, or that he's young, or that he's oblivious, but rather, he's a man, just like us. And so he has to be taught again and again. And rather than being irritated by the Lord's repeated lesson, he and the people along with him are invigorated. They're made ready for the battle. They're made ready to face the day of trouble that is coming their way. So Joshua demonstrates what it means to be steadfast. Joshua demonstrates what it means to pray, "Save, Lord." Joshua demonstrates what it means to put his trust in the God of his salvation. So let's look at the text. It's Joshua 11, 1 through 15. Starting at verse 1, Joshua 11. "And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, the king of Shimron, to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings who were from the north, in the mountains, in the plain of Chinneroth, in the lowland, and in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, in the mountains, and the Hivite below Hermon, in the land of Mizpah." That's a mouthful, but you get the picture. They're surrounded by enemies. Verse 4. "So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots." Again, these are the enemies of God. And they're surrounding the Israelites, surrounding Joshua and the people of God. And they number as the sand of the seashore, and they have many horses and chariots. That's the picture. Verse 5. "And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Memron to fight against Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom and attacked them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to greater Sidon, to the brook Mizrephoth, and to the valley of Mizpah eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with the sword, for Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was nothing left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock, the children of Israel took as booty for themselves. But they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. And they left none breathing. As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. It's an incredible story of victory. And it's a victory for the people of God. And we're learning what Joshua learned. He learned to trust in the Lord, and he learned to obey the voice of the Lord. So there are 3 points this evening. Number one is the Lord's enemies. Number two is the Lord's army. And number three is the Lord. So we're going from the Lord's enemies to the Lord. The Lord's enemies, the Lord's army, and the Lord. Starting with the Lord's enemies. Now, there was good reason for Joshua to be afraid. Remember those opening verses and the number of people. They numbered as the sand on the seashore in multitude. This is not a small army. It's an overwhelming army. They are outnumbered in an incredible way. And there's a Jewish historian, his name is Josephus. He numbers the forces of Canaan like this. He says, there were 300,000 foot soldiers, 100,000 cavalry, and 20,000 chariots. That would make this one of the greatest battles that Joshua had ever fought. And it's no wonder that God would say to him as Joshua is contemplating the enemies that surrounded him, there's good reason for God to remind him, do not be afraid of them. Joshua, I will give you the victory. The enemy is great in number. They have chariots. They have horses. Maybe they have 20,000 chariots. What could Israel do against such power? How can they stand against these most advanced weapons of war that would give the enemies the advantage over them? The odds are in their favor, if you count odds the world's way. But if you read the Word of God as it's intended to be read, what you're going to find is that woven throughout these words of power for the Canaanite, the enemies of God, what you're actually reading is not about their power. You're reading about their weakness because they know nothing of God. So weakness number one is this. They gathered against God's people. I mean, of all the ridiculous things in the world to do is to gather against God's people. To gather against God's people guarantees your defeat. In the three chapters before Joshua chapter 11, there are other alliances that are made against God's people. So in chapter 8, Ai forms an alliance with Bethel. So there's an alliance against Joshua. In chapter 9, it's the kings on one side of the Jordan gathered together to fight as one army against the people of God. In chapter 10, the five kings of the Amorites gathered together against the people of God. And here in chapter 11, they're at it again. They still don't get it. They haven't learned their lesson. What seems to be a strength for them, banding together, is actually a very foolish thing to do. To band together against God's people is a losing proposition. So people of God, don't forget that. The enemies of God rage all around us. But remember, it's a losing proposition when the world bands together against the people of God. So here they are in Joshua chapter 11. They're forming one army. They have as many people as the sand on the seashore. They're raging against God. They're united together, not only against God's people, but against God Himself. It's a sign that they are wicked and corrupt. In fact, that's why they were marked for destruction in the first place. You remember that the book of Joshua is the people of Israel going into the promised land. And so Moses brings them to the point where they're about to go into the promised land, and then Moses dies, Joshua takes over, they cross over the river Jordan, and they go into the promised land, and they begin to defeat the armies. And they do that because God said their wickedness has reached its limit. They are marked for destruction. Moses, they must all be destroyed. Moses tells Joshua, God has said they must all be destroyed. And so as Joshua goes in, that's exactly what he does. And their wickedness, even though we don't know a whole lot about it, we do know some. And what we see here is part of that wickedness. They band together against God. They're continuing to harden their hearts. So that's weakness number two. Weakness number one is they gathered against God and His people. Weakness number two is that they've hardened their hearts against God. You see, softened hearts break in humility. Softened hearts repent of wickedness. Maybe you've seen that in your own life, where you've hardened your heart for a time and then God breaks in and says, repent. And you do. What a sign of God's favor in your life. The sign of God's favor is not yet that you have a fat bank account. The sign of God's favor is that you have a soft heart. Heart of repentance. But there's none of this in these enemies of God. They don't get any softer at all. They continue to rage against God. Here's another weakness. Weakness number three. They didn't ask for peace. They showed no humility. They are sinners by nature and sinners by choice. They rage and they plot against God. Perhaps, if they had humbled themselves, God would have been gracious to them. That's what God is like. You know that. You know that God is gracious and we can fight against Him our whole lives. And then one day the Spirit comes in. And your heart of stone is turned into a heart of flesh. But there is no humility on their part. So what they're going to learn is that there is no God like our God. And like we read in Psalm 20, they are bowed down and fallen. But we have risen and stand upright. And then the next word in Psalm 20 is this, save, Lord. They trusted in chariots. They trusted in horses. They raged against God Himself. But Joshua trusted in the Lord. So although Joshua appeared way before Psalm 20 is written, right? Joshua is, the sixth book of the Bible? Psalms is more in the middle. Like King David isn't even around yet. So it's not like Joshua read Psalm 20. And yet, these could have been his very words. Joshua could have said something very similar to this. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. The victory of Joshua is a clear victory over his enemies. So in these opening verses, you have the strength of the enemy described. And yet, what we see when we carefully look at it, it's actually their weakness. Their strength is their weakness. They've gathered against God. That's a weakness. They've hardened their hearts against God. That's a weakness. They didn't ask for peace from God. A God who delights in mercy. That's a weakness. Instead, they trusted in chariots and horses. That's a weakness. Those were God's enemies in Joshua's day, and they describe God's enemies now because the world still joins together against God and His people. People of darkness. The people of this world love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that very soul-searching way that Hebrews puts it is this: they seek for repentance with tears, but they don't find it. How many people are searching the self-help books on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble? And they're searching for something to heal their sick consciences, their wounded souls. But they can't find it. The world sees itself as basically good. Jesus is a fairy tale. Why would I go to Him? These are marks of unbelief. This is raging against God. And still the Savior calls out. And people of God, we need to hear this as much as the men of this world. Here's what the Savior says: seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Beautiful words from Isaiah 55. So if you're an enemy of God here today, then these words call out to you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way. Raging against God will get you nowhere. Instead, put your trust in the name of the Lord who saves to the uttermost. So that's the Lord's enemies. Point number two is the Lord's army. Once again, consider this not so bothersome reminder from God. Verse 6, Joshua 11:6. But the Lord said to Joshua, Do not be afraid because of them. For tomorrow, about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. What made this small army, Joshua and his band of men, what made them so much stronger than these nations that banded together? Maybe it was their battle plan. Look at verse 7. It says, they gathered together and attacked suddenly. Maybe their strength was their surprise attack. Now you could say, well, maybe that was part of their help. But you know, they had victory other times when they didn't attack with a surprise attack. The secret to their strength is actually revealed in verse 8. And the Lord delivered these enemies into the hand of Israel. The Lord delivered these enemies into the hand of Israel. Remember this from Psalm 20. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Oh, that we had this secret for 2020. That the Lord would be our strength. That we would look for deliverance from him. Remember that simple prayer that anyone can memorize. Save, Lord. What a simple prayer. Another secret to their success is in verse 9. So the first secret in verse 8 is the Lord delivered them. Another part of their success is in verse 9, which says, so Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. This is obedience. Remember, disobedience brings defeat. Disobedience is what kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua had learned to obey the Lord. So you know what he did? He hamstrung their horses and he burned their chariots. That made them useless. Why not keep these horses and chariots for yourselves? I mean, you have ongoing conflicts. You might as well have these weapons of war. Why would you destroy them? They destroyed these valuable weapons because they had learned to walk by faith and not by sight. The chariots looked good, but God said to destroy them. Don't trust in chariots like the Canaanites do. Don't put your hope in the strength of a horse like God's enemies do. Instead, trust in the name of the Lord your God. Verse 12 stresses that obedience again. It says, Joshua utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. And then verse 15 again, which means that God told Moses, Moses told Joshua. Therefore, Joshua is following the command of God. So is your trust. We always look for ourselves here, and what we're seeing is that we need, like Joshua needed to, and the people of God needed to in those days, is our trust in the Lord who gives us strength. The weapons of this world, the wisdom of this world, will make us ill-equipped. The wisdom of this world only leads to us being further overwhelmed. How can we stand when it seems that the world is closing in on us? How can we have victory when the majority says that Jesus is a fairy tale? How can we stand together and stand against a world that loves sin and self? The only way we can stand is to remember the name of the Lord our God. So the world will try to make us feel ill-equipped and overwhelmed. And so just like Joshua, surrounded by all of these enemies, numbering as the sand of the seashore with their chariots and horses, we feel the same way. And God says to us, as He said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. For I, the Lord your God, am with you. I will give you victory over these things. Christ has promised victory to us. The enemies are overwhelming, but their strength is their weakness. Their banding together is a weakness. Their raging against God moves them further from God Himself. Their trust in them, in their wisdom and ingenuity, sets them up for eternal failure. So we seem outnumbered and mocked. But God is not mocked. God is returning, and He's going to set everything straight. Galatians 5:8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The victory is guaranteed by God Himself. Point one is the Lord's enemies. They're banding together and they're hardening their hearts. Point two is the Lord's army. We might seem weak, but the Lord is on our side. He fights for us, and we're learning to trust in Him and His Word and His strength. Our final point this evening, number three, is the Lord. Psalm 20 is a very big help for us as we think about putting our trust in the Lord. So we have on this last Lord's Day, this last sermon together for 2019, we have a repeated lesson. And it's repeated to Joshua. In Joshua 11, it's repeated to us. Fear not. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Do your enemies gather against you? Remember the enemies that we looked at this morning? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Another repeated lesson. We say that quite often. But the world and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are at our heels all the time. They never take a rest. The flesh and its deceitfulness. The devil and his schemes. The attacks are numerous. The weapons of warfare are powerful against us. They're difficult to resist. And that's why we have the lesson repeated. Is it irksome? Does it bother us because we're forgetful and we're reminded that we forget way too often? Is it bothersome because we're lazy and we don't apply what we've learned? Is it irksome because we're fickle and we we just can't seem to stay on the straight and narrow path. Instead of being bothered by this repeated lesson, repeated this morning in Psalm 20 and put in action tonight in Joshua 11, let's learn, number one, not to be forgetful. Remember that God is for us. Instead of being bothered by a repeated lesson, let us learn not to be lazy. It's 2020. 2020 should be a year for all of us to grow in prayer. Remember our simple prayer this morning, save, Lord. And it's a prayer of putting our trust in the Lord. And instead of being bothered by a repeated instruction, let us not be fickle, but rather be grounded and steadfast, trusting in the name of the Lord our God. This is what Christians do. This is our reminder for 2020. Instead of being fickle and lazy and forgetful, let us be grounded and steadfast. Let us fight the good fight of faith, trusting in the name of the Lord our God. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, you've given us a lesson from your word, and it's a repeated lesson, and yet it reminds us of our need for you. So God, may we learn to trust in you, and may the prayer on our lips be saved, Lord. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.